This is Sean from the Rusted Robot Podcast, your weekly dose of geek-style pop culture news, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I will see you in the future.
Too Much Scrolling for December 26, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Baby New Year.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. 2017 is finally coming to an end, Chip.
Father Time told me that I could take over in just a couple days, so I'm going to be all ready. It's Boxing Day, Steve. It's Boxing Day.
It's such, I love the imagery that you conjure up whenever you come up with these things on the fly. I think that's the same imagery that you used last year, though.
What, Baby New Year?
I think you did that last year. I think the imagery of you in a diaper and just with the joy on your face that the new year is coming, that's what this week is all about.
Exactly, exactly. Especially the Arctic front that'll be coming in to...
I don't want to think about your Arctic front.
To celebrate the moment. You're looking at the weather. It's like 30 degrees, and... Three? How did it get to three?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to winter. It's fully and totally winter at this point.
At least we get a little more sunlight.
That's right.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to see a new movie this week, The Greatest Showman. This is the story of P.T. Barnum, a full-on musical movie. Tell us all about it.
Well, it stars Wolverine, yeah,
of
Steve.
Of course it does. It's a movie that's a musical. Of course Hugh Jackman is the king of that.
And what we learned is that he doesn't show his claws in this film.
He's got them hidden under all the red of the jacket.
This has a great cast, and it's a musical. And it was really fun watching all the previews come up. Because, Steve, what types of previews do you get when you're at a musical?
100% musical movies.
Mamma Mia Part 2 is coming out this summer, Steve.
Good.
Along with the Nutcracker. Anyway, this is the story of P.T. Barnum. And we get a little bit of... There's like a little class stuff going on here. He is a very, very poor boy. We learned one of the first scenes...
Nobody loves him.
Exactly. One of the first scenes, we see a baby... Wolverine standing there and looking at himself in a mirror. Uh-huh. He looks down at his shoes, and his the leather is not connected to his shoes, and his feet are coming out.
Okay.
So this is to show that he's very, very poor.
That's a universal symbol, is if you have bad shoes. Yep.
His father is a tailor, and they go over to meet the young lady who will be his future wife.
Nice.
And they wink and at each other. And the father, of course, does not accept this poor boy trying to come in and seduce his daughter.
Hmm.
Ultimately, P.T. Barnum does. He becomes, this is the person he will eventually marry. He eventually builds his, what becomes the circus. You know, Barnum & Bailey, this just stopped maybe last year or the year before.
Yeah, this was the circus. Barnum & Bailey was the circus for 100 years.
Well, it started out at a theater. It started out as a group of oddities,
mm-hmm.
People who were marginalized. And this is a story of the bourgeois, the everyday person,
mm-hmm.
Making it big, but never truly being able to fit into the world of culture. And even when they thought they were working in the world of culture, just continuously getting, just not being allowed to fit in.
Hmm.
The beautiful part about the American experience is that we, you know, officially we don't have a class system, and that we do celebrate anybody and everybody who has the ability to make it. And sure, we can kind of, there's the snickering that goes on when someone makes a foolish purchase or something of that nature. But the idea that you could be that person is a very American story. And this is there's no music in here that's going to be a hook that's going to become a standard, but this is a very capable Christmas type of film to go see on Christmas Day.
Okay.
And to be very happy about.
All right, so you've got this whole week between Christmas and New Year's. This is, you know, a great week for going to see movies.
And we released all those movies from our last show that right. we talked about that will be in the theater. You have 10 movies that you'll be able to go see and go, wow, these are the best of the best.
I got a chance to see A Christmas Story live. This was on Fox on December 17th, which seems like a long time ago already. But this, again, back to that family viewing. This is a musical.
So every year recently, NBC and Fox have put together these basically the Broadway musicals, mm-hmm. those types of things, but made them for television and made them family friendly for television.
That's right. And this is, everybody loves The Christmas Story, right? This
is Gene Shepard's.
Gene Shepard's Christmas Story.
Oh, yes. Right. And in fact, TBS, I'm sure, will be playing it. I played it all day yesterday.
Did they?
Of course they did.
Oh, boy. Is that still a thing?
Of course it is.
Okay. So I am not a huge fan of this story. I think it's a fine, capable story, but after I've seen it, I don't know, 5 or 6 times, I think I know the story pretty well. This was a good representation of the Gene Shepard story.
But they took it and they made a musical out of it.
This is the representation of the Broadway musical, then put back into TV size presentation. And the scope of these things, the Grease Live and the Rocky Horror Picture mm-hmm. Show Live, all of the live presentations that we've seen, the scope of what they're able to do is dramatically different from a TV show. The sets are enormous. There's these huge dance numbers where hundreds of people come out and do these dance numbers. The most intriguing one in this live performance
yes.
was a live commercial for The Greatest Showman. They had a huge group of people doing choreography out on the set of this movie.
And Wolverine was in it.
Like the circus was coming to town in the Gene Shepard.
Oh, really?
It was perfect. It was the most exciting part of A Christmas Story Live.
All right, so tell me about the alternative turkey scene, because that seems like one of my, that was very funny.
Yes, there is one scene, those of you who have seen A Christmas Story 100 times, you know that the turkey goes wrong in A Christmas Story.
The Bumpuses.
The Bumpuses' dogs come and get the turkey, and it's all, Christmas is ruined, and so the family goes to the only restaurant in town that's open, the Chinese restaurant, and there is a very racist joke in the restaurant where the staff of the restaurant sings Deck the Halls, and it's very uncomfortable for the family to be in this very racist joke. In this live version, they turned that racist joke on its head, and the staff that comes out to sing Deck the Halls does it in a fantastic voice, like beautiful choir Wonderful. Singing. And the father in the story says to the man running the Chinese restaurant, "Oh, that's not what I was expecting." And he turns on his heels and points at the father and says, "What were you expecting?" And he says, "Nothing. I'm just saying that was wonderful. That was wonderful singing."
That's the beauty, is that wink that yes. they make to the audience. It's beautiful.
It was very well done. I enjoyed this musical very much. It is available online if you didn't get a chance to watch it. You know, A Christmas Story. You should watch that 7,000 or 8,000 times every year.
All right, so on Netflix, there was a movie that starred Will Smith, Steve.
Yeah, the Will Smith train keeps on running, and Netflix has signed Will Smith to a long-term contract.
A lot like Adam Sandler.
Yes, and just like Adam Sandler, he's made a movie.
Excellent. And so the movie was called Bright. So tell me about Bright.
This is a oh boy, where do I even start? This is a world in which humans and orcs and fairies and elves all live together in not peace and harmony, because boy, we get a view of this world as a broken world.
Is there hiking, Steve?
Not as much hiking as you would think, but I did notice in one scene, one of the graffitis said, "Follow winter," like as in winter is coming. No, we're following winter. Winter has already come. Like it was a direct reference to the Game of Thrones. Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking more along the line, L.L. Bean presents Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings too. This is the Lord of the Rings.
It's a long hike, Steve.
Yeah, it's a lot of walking in that movie. This is it's not a good movie, Chip.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did not like this movie. I love Will Smith. I love his persona in almost all of his films, where he is the cool dad hanging out with his beautiful children, doing these cool dad things. This character is not that. He is a dad. He doesn't have that scene with the kid. Mm-hmm. And then he says these terrible words every paragraph of this movie. He is swearing up one side and down the other through this entire adventure.
Well, they've already agreed to a Bright 2.
Yeah, it was greenlit the day before this was released.
Well, there you go. So this did not get... But Netflix doesn't always disappoint, does it,
no.
Steve?
No.
So what did you watch this week from Netflix that would give us... some hope, Steve?
The smile on my face comes from Craig Ferguson. Craig Ferguson, stand-up comedian, used to have the late night show after David Letterman.
Yes.
And he has a new stand-up hour called Tickle Fight. And yes, Tickle Fight is as naughty as you're imagining it right now.
We had the movie Tickle earlier this year.
It's not quite that naughty. But yes, this is I enjoy Craig Ferguson and his... a way of telling a story that seems like it's coming straight off the top of his head. He's okay. One of those comedians who can give me an hour of comedy, and the whole hour I'm thinking, did he write any of this down? He probably did. He probably worked on this for a year before he presented it on stage. But he is one of those masters of comedy who can make it sound like he's coming up with this off the top of his head.
Now, is this family friendly? Is this for everyone? Or is this more...
It's more adult,
okay,
but it is more family-friendly than Bright was.
Okay.
Bright was not family-friendly. This is at least it's pretty close.
But Netflix continues to give, Steve.
Yes.
What did they give you this week that you're going to suggest we watch with you?
Merry Christmas, everyone. Netflix has picked up the first two seasons of Ash vs. Evil Dead. This was the TV show that was on Stars in 2015 and 2016. Mm-hmm. Third season is coming in late February of 2018. But they are now available on Netflix. These have been on my wish list for Amazon to get the DVD so that I could watch these again. I'm never going to buy it ever again.
Especially when you can watch it. So you can stream it. And, you know, the holidays are here. You can bang out a season, can't you?
Well, there are a total of 20 episodes. They're half an hour each, so that's 10 hours of sheer comic joy. If you love the Three Stooges and slasher horror movies, Ash vs. Evil Dead is the perfect child of those two things.
So if you have a half gallon of, say, eggnog and all those Christmas cookies and 10 hours, you probably can get through it.
Oh, yeah. This is so much fun. It's such a fun adventure. If you haven't gotten into Ash vs. Evil Dead, I don't know what you're waiting for.
So grab the chicken leg. Grab the turkey leg, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, eat those leftovers and watch some movies.
This is not family friendly. The Ash vs. Evil Dead is definitely a horror, blood-soaked slasher film with very funny slapstick comedy built in.
All right, so the movie theater is still open, and there's all those wonderful movies that are still in the theater. But Steve, let's just say that we don't want to watch some wonderful films.
There's some other films.
And we wanted to go... And you wanted to release some films, say, like on the last Friday before the year ends.
So for your consideration, Academy, here are some really B-level movies that were released this week. I don't know where you're going to find them.
Well,
I don't know that they're going to be in the movie theater.
We don't know. But anyway.
The first one is called The Perfect Kiss. The Perfect Kiss.
Steve, we watched the trailer.
Yes,
and
we
could take that there are some young ladies here.
It's a romantic comedy.
But there's no story.
That's all. That is all we can tell you.
You should really watch this trailer.
Go to our show notes and click on this trailer.
This trailer is, I don't know, a couple minutes of just like nothing.
Just scenes, just shots, like still photos that happen to move a little bit. There's random things happening in this trailer. I do not know the story of this movie.
There may not be one.
This is a French-Canadian film from Quebec that explains a little bit of the confusion maybe
because we speak English, Steve.
Well, they speak English too. Okay.
So grab some ranch dressing.
Maybe we should call up JF DeBoe. Yeah. Maybe JF DeBoe can translate for us from Canadian so that we can understand this trailer.
Midwestern eating ranch dressing, watching this this movie that we don't know what's about. Now, that one looked awful. Now, let's go with one that looks like there's some promise there for maybe the wrong reason.
At least there's a storyline to the next movie. It's called Lowriders versus Zombies from Space.
Now, first of all, that could go right into your head, and the first thing you think is Lowriders in a zombie movie.
Uh-huh.
And the trailer is so funny.
It is. This is definitely a B movie. This is definitely a couple of guys with a camera running around and filming their lowrider adventure that they're having.
Every friend that's got a lowrider, I'm sure the lowrider is in this movie.
The convention of lowriders that was happening that weekend got filmed, and then they threw a story around that with zombies from outer space.
All these bouncing cars. In fact, the trailer is incredibly, they're winking at you the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is one of those B movies. It's definitely a B movie that I would actually sit and watch this movie. This is a labor of love that these people put together this movie. They decided it was a good idea.
It takes place in San Antonio, Steve.
Oh, even better.
That's right.
San Antonio's beautiful this time of year. That is the list of movies that are coming out this week, ladies and gentlemen. Like we said, go see one of the other 10 movies that are available in the movie theater. There's so many good ones this week.
Book it, book it, book it. Book it, book it, book it. Book it. Book it.
Brings us to our book. At our book of the week, you have been going through and making yourself better in 2017, Chip. You've been going through some of the great courses.
I've probably gone through 20, maybe more.
Wow.
I was trying to think of how many I've gone through the history of Rome. I've gone through like two parts or three parts of that. I've taken them on literature. I've taken them on U.S. history. Anyway, this is the current one we saw is the History of Ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And this is by Professor Breyer. And he teaches at Long Island University. And you may have seen him because he's been on the History Channel. Anytime there's some kind of Egypt story going on, he is the guy explaining what happened as a storyteller.
Okay.
Now, his specialty as an Egyptologist...
Ooh.
Is they recreated a mummy. They actually, they don't, there's no rules that have been written down. That's one of the things we learned in this course on how to mummify a person. But he recreated it the best he can. And so they've had people donate their bodies and they've been able to do it.
Hmm.
Now, Egypt is a long, long history. So this is an overview. And the setup for this is to tell you that by the time Tutankhamun had come to lead as a pharaoh.
King Tut.
that's for all you Steve Martin fans.
Oh, my God. I love that. Go on.
By the time he came to lead as a pharaoh, the pyramids were 1,000 years old.
Wow. That is a long history right there.
Our country is not 250 years old.
Right.
So think about it. By the time he's leading... It's 1,000 years old. By the time Cleopatra is living, okay, Tutankhamun's been dead for 1,000 years. This is we're looking at least 3,000 years as far as history. One of the things that Bob Breyer, he does address the pseudo history that can be out there. He says, don't get too caught up on dates here. You know, we know it's over 3,000 years. And what we're trying to look at is sort of how these line up against each other. Because people of Egypt during that time, ancient Egypt, they were very good at just wiping out history. So somebody died, they didn't like them, they would scratch them out of history.
Hmm.
So it was very... trying to get these things in order. Like this happened before this, before happened this, before happening of this. And Egypt rose and fell. The Nile that comes through Egypt, there's a little story that goes on there. There's a part where it turns and kind of goes through like a piping, like a plumber's pipe for your, I don't know, toilet or bathroom or whatever.
The grease trap. Exactly. Of the Nile.
Exactly. Well, anyway, there's a part where the Nile looks like it goes backwards. So the water flows from the center of Africa, and it goes to the Mediterranean. So it automatically, you have Upper and Lower Egypt, and you're thinking the Upper is in the southern part and the Lower is in the northern part. I mean, just you can get yourself all confused on thinking about it. But it doesn't really matter. The people lived on the Nile. The Nile gave them their food. They captured the water as it came in. That's how they grew their crops. Mm-hmm. They're surrounded by deserts. People had to die in Egypt, so it was very important. Why didn't they go out and conquer the world like Alexander the Great and stuff like that? Well, they didn't, because it was very important to die in Egypt. And so they would go and they would fight the Nubians and stuff like that. But they would always bring their dead back, and it was just real important to them.
Hmm.
He is a wonderful storyteller.
Yeah.
And so in between this, you get some Bible stories. In between this, you get some history stories. It is absolutely the most fascinating course to take. You will leave this with not only just an appreciation of the Egyptian culture, but just recognize that it is just, it's a birthplace for a lot of the way that we view the world. Bob is a great storyteller. Great storytellers make history fun.
Oh, don't you love a great storyteller? I love listening, you know, even some of those people that we have scratched out of history in 2017 because of their character. I love listening to a great storyteller. Garrison Keillor is a great storyteller.
He whistles through his nose, Steve. He gets real close to the microphone and...
He's a microphone swallower. Okay.
He whistles through his nose.
But he's a good storyteller. Whether or not he's good at using a microphone is a whole nother issue.
He is a good storyteller.
Yeah, good storytellers. Back to my love of stand-up comedy. A good storyteller doing stand-up is a marvel for me. I love watching that. That oral tradition. You know, we've moved in our... in our history to a written tradition where we write down and we read books, and maybe we're moving back to an oral tradition with things like podcasts.
Well, podcasts and television programs and stuff like that, that to have a gifted speaker teach you a subject, maybe it's something that you were not interested in. Now, you know, I picked it up because I had interest in Egypt, but It enhances that moment. A great teacher can really make something come alive.
That's right.
And there's 48 different classes to this, and I think they're a half hour each. They could be a little longer, but my point is I never felt that I was not entertained any time I was listening to this, and so that's roughly about 50 hours. It took me probably 3 or 4 weeks to get through it. Every time I walk the dog, I throw the earphones in and I'm sitting here listening to it. Because I enjoyed this so much, I started my next history course. And I'm actually listening to one. We'll talk about it maybe in the couple months, but it's on Mayan, Olmecs, and Aztecs.
Oh, wow.
So this is a gentleman from Austin, Texas, who's a professor.
A little bit different storyteller from Austin versus New York City.
Yeah, he's not a bad storyteller. Right. In fact, it's fascinating because the difference between Egypt and the Mayan civilization is that I know a little bit about, I mean, we can go see the pyramids. We know that this was 3,000 years or more. We get a lot of that. With the Mayan part, it's all jungle. They're uncovering stuff right now. It wasn't really written about until maybe the mid-80s, 1980s.
The 1980s. That's so much sooner than the 80s.
And, you know, when the New World was rediscovered, we were wiping out a lot of the history. The Europeans were wiping out a lot of the history. So trying to put all that stuff together, they're still trying to put it together. We know a lot about Egypt. And... part of it is because Egypt remained independent for a long, long time. This is different, but it certainly is equally as fascinating.
Excellent. The Great Courses, greatcourses.com.
Highly recommended.
There you go.
Scroll with it.
It is the end of 2017. We've gotten this far.
That's right.
We have nothing but high expectations for the last few days of 2017 and moving into what we will see in 2018. One of the first things we'll see in 2018 are the college football playoffs.
All right, so they've moved them. They were used to be on New Year's Eve. Now the college playoffs are on New Year's Day. So it didn't quite work as well for them. They tried for two seasons to run the playoffs on New Year's Eve. And you get to a party and you're there early and you're kind of talking to everybody and you got the games going on behind you. So the way the playoffs work is they pick the four best teams. Those four best teams play each other. And then the two winners will move forward to the championship game, which is the following week, if I'm not mistaken. This year, we've got Alabama, who is was ranked number one for most of the season until they lost to Auburn, who is 11-1, taking on Clemson, who is 12-1, who was ranked number one many of those weeks too. Clemson and Alabama, this is the third time they've played in the playoffs. Each time it was like Ollie Frazier, like the two heavyweights, the two best teams. Alabama won the first time. Clemson won last year, won the national championship. So 2 years ago, Alabama won the national championship. 1 year ago, Clemson did. They're playing in the first round of the playoffs this time. They're playing in the Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans. And it is going to be equally. This is a pick'em game for you people out there who want to bet on this. They're two of the best teams out there.
So what makes it a pick'em game? What does that mean?
A pick'em game means that you can flip a coin. There's no one who is decisively better than the other team.
So that would make it good for gambling? I don't understand.
That means you can't pick the winner.
You can't pick. Gotcha.
You can pick whatever team you want because both teams should be coming in as equally as strong.
Excellent.
Our next game is in the Rose Bowl. It's in Pasadena, California. It's beautiful there. And so we're going to have Georgia playing Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma has our Heisman Trophy winner and is our super offense. It's led by Lincoln Riley. And offense. With really good athletes. So Oklahoma, who has a storied history and themselves, are going to play Georgia. Now, Georgia got there because they won the SEC, which Alabama's in too. The team they beat was Auburn. To give you an idea how this worked, Auburn beat Georgia like a drum, and then Auburn beat Alabama. Because they won those two games, they got to play Georgia for the SEC championship game, and Georgia came out and beat Auburn. So we have a team here that's the SEC champ, that's a really good team, they got great defense, and so this is a good game. I don't know who's going to, there's a difference on this game, this is not a pick'em game, I don't know who's is favored in it, but let's just say both of these games should be great games. New Year's Day is going to be a great time to recover and watch some football.
Yeah, time to sit on the couch and figure out some football.
Or as we say down south, eat some black-eyed peas.
Oh yeah?
You have to eat black-eyed peas for luck.
Okay.
Do you ever hear this?
Yes, you've told me this for 4 years.
And then collard greens?
Uh-huh.
Eat it for wealth.
Yeah.
So there you go. They do what they can in the South.
Traditions are a thing. And yes, football is a tradition for a lot of households. We'll be watching Star Wars.
So you're going to watch Star Wars for New Year's too?
Maybe. There's so many Star Wars movies now. There's more than just three now. That's what I've been told.
Oh my goodness, Steve.
So, 2017, we have a tradition here on Too Much Scrolling. We don't do our best of year-end wrap-up. We do our favorites. These are not maybe the best things around for the year, but they are the things that we remember the most from 2017.
I don't have enough knowledge of all the things that went on to really give me a best of.
Right.
So, favorites work well. We're dealing with pop culture many times.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got our interests.
So we have to start with our favorites in the category of books. I'll tell you, my favorite book of 2017 is The Punch Escrow by Tal Klein. Tal has been on the show twice. I've read this book twice. I enjoy, this is the story of a young man who gets trapped in a problem with teleportation. You know, that Star Trek Beam Me Up Scotty kind of transportation.
Mm-hmm. And that was really good.
He winds up with a problem that he then has to solve. And the adventure of this book is my favorite of 2017.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Mine's a little bit different.
Yeah, you went with a nonfiction title.
I did. A Generation of Sociopaths, How the Baby Boomers... How the Baby Boomers Betrayed America.
A Generation of Sociopaths. How the Baby Boomers Betrayed America. Tell us about this one again.
By Bruce Gibney.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, titles are meant to attract your attention.
Right.
So don't take it personally.
Baby Boomers?
It's a study on how society changed from the Quiet Generation to the baby boomers,
right,
and how they left it for the next generation. And so this is graphs, this is writings on this, and this is support material. And I just, when I was reading it, I was going, wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
So I think that we all can glean a lot of useful information on this. I absolutely love this book. It doesn't mean you have to agree with the findings, but I think that you will you'll leave this book you'll leave it woke, Steve. Woke. Okay.
Well, that brings me to my runner-up for my favorite book, which is After On by Rob Reed. That is the story of an AI, an artificial intelligence, who wakes and becomes sentient, and all of the snowball effect of that, and the possibilities of what could be happening in the very near future with artificial intelligence.
And I would pick Win Bigley. With Scott Adams, something I did not understand,
yeah,
and it really blew me away. I left that understanding better, and this was a book basically on Trump and about communication, and I just absolutely, when I was reading this, I was going, wow, 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 and so both, all of these we've discussed this year.
Yeah, we'll have in our show notes where you can go back to all of the reviews of all of these books in total, including all of our interviews with all of our guests. A third one on my list is, of course, J.F. DeBoe's A God in the Shed, which is horror novel. That's my horror pick of the year, because I don't read a lot of horror novels. It's a good one. It's a good one. Go to the movie category. I think that we agree that our favorite movie of 2017 is The War for the Planet of the Apes.
I think we agree on that.
I think it's got everything. It's got sci-fi.
Woody Harrelson.
It's got Woody Harrelson. It's got heart. It's got drama.
And we understand why the apes took over.
And it's got a mirror to our real life and what's happening in our society at the same time. This is a perfect piece of narrative and drama and action and fighting. It's got everything.
Well, it's great pop, great popular movie. And when I say that, you know, it may not appeal to everybody out there.
True.
But I think that a person who went through it, enjoyed it, there's enough intellectual and enough pop. Psychology, and then enough nuance.
And some great comic relief from Bad Ape.
That's right.
I love Bad Ape.
And Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson does another fantastic job. He is one of my favorite actors working right now.
Sure. And for my pop superhero movie, I think Thor was my
Ragnarok?
Favorite. Yes, yes, yes.
I still haven't seen it.
Well, that's all right. You know, Christmas is
this
here.
This might be the week.
Exactly.
That I can get to it. I am going to put Star Wars The Last Jedi on my list of my favorite movies of 2017. No real shock there. Everybody knows how much I love Star Wars.
Well, it was made to be eaten up by the people who love Star Wars.
Absolutely. There are certainly flaws to it, and I can look past the flaws of The Last Jedi and enjoy the adventure of it and all of the nostalgia that they threw at me. All the fan service for the middle-aged people, I ate it up.
And you also put down a Fifty Shades Darker, Steve, didn't you?
No. No.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading something
else.
No,
I don't know what list you're reading, but on my list, I have the movie It, the adaptation of the Stephen King novel It.
That was
on
very
my list.
Good, too.
I enjoyed that much.
Good pop movie. Uh-huh.
I look forward to the second half of it. That's going to come in probably 2019.
Interesting. I think when we reviewed it, the first thing we said, why didn't they just go ahead and film both of them?
Right. Back to the Future style. Why not? The other one that I put on my list is actually a DC title. That's Wonder Woman.
Dun, 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 dun.
Wonder Woman was the best of the DC movies, I think. I enjoyed that one immensely.
That was a fun movie also. Mm-hmm. There were so many good movies. In fact, if you go back through our podcast, every week we usually have a good movie to see.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think anybody's going to
except for this week
miss out. We saw The Greatest Showman.
That's right.
So
that's right. So next week is going to be a challenge.
It's Star Logan.
That's right. News of 2017. There's so many stories, so many things that happened in 2017, so many that I really honestly don't want to talk about. But the thing that was the best moment for me in 2017 was when you and I and my family, we went down to St. Louis area. You went down to the Champaign area to see the total solar eclipse. This was a life changing moment.
I was down at SIU Carbondale. And I was right on the campus, and that was such an awesome moment,
mm-hmm.
especially standing around a guy, I think it was in his late 80s, telling me that he came down from Ottawa because he always wanted to see an eclipse live.
It was special.
It was unique.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of going to experience something natural that nature provides,
and something bigger than yourself.
Yes,
you know, getting a little bit of perspective. That was fun, even when you had a real hard time driving back up north from down there.
Oh my goodness, that was the
that
drive.
Was a couple of days.
Let's just say that I did. I stopped and I went to sleep because
you couldn't make it.
Oh my goodness, the traffic back was. Let's just say the entire Chicagoland area went down to Carbondale, or down to Southern Illinois,
right? And people from Ottawa.
Oh, yes.
The second thing on my news of 2017 is it's a sad thing that I think is going to develop into something special. I really have high expectations for what society will be able to do in Puerto Rico as a result of the terrible destruction from the hurricane in Puerto Rico. I think we're going to see that space being used as a laboratory to give those people what they need and to develop the future of a lot of things, power distribution being the main one.
That's an interesting way of looking at it because they're still suffering down there.
Yes, they are.
And in fact, I think I was reading 200,000 or 300,000 Puerto Ricans are down in southern Florida right now.
Because they got out of Puerto Rico so that they had what they need to survive.
And, you know, there are people up in our area mm-hmm. that are Puerto Ricans that may never go back
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they are U.S. citizens.
Right.
And it is devastating still down there.
I have a couple of students who are basically refugees who have come into my school in the last few months after the hurricane because they have family here. They have resources here. The people in Puerto Rico are definitely suffering. Mm-hmm. But what we can maybe create from that suffering is something that we've never been able to do.
Just recognize it's also paradise,
mm-hmm.
and there's opportunities that are presented that are present in Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
and so we'll see what ends up happening. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I have high expectations, especially with the Tesla sending their big batteries down there to change the way we think of a power grid.
All right, so the one I'm going to leave with, because we just had the tax situation just happen, and while we don't give tax advice, I will say we may be moving to an era
mm-hmm.
with the standard deduction being moved up as high as it is, that we may move to an era where we don't have to do tax returns. Actually, your taxes are just taken out of your W-2. And maybe we're dealing, you know, if you're self-employed or something like that, you may have something you need to do mm-hmm. above and beyond.
Right.
But for the average person, imagine the freedom, the thing lifted off of your plate.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just, most of us are going to be taking the standard deduction in the future. And so maybe that will be something that will turn out positive. We don't know how it will turn out, but this could be something where every spring you're not making the mad dash over to get your taxes done.
Right.
So
it might be a good thing in the long run. We will see. A lot of people, a lot of really smart people have looked at this tax thing from all sides, and a lot of smart people don't know if this is going to work out well or not.
We have deficits, we have debt.
Right.
But the ultimate part of this is that we have resources, and that's your time and trying to put together tax returns.
Yeah.
And as easy as you may think it is, it's not. A lot of people are pay a lot of money, and a lot of people are flabbergasted every time they have to put this stuff together. So what we want to do is, if we can make it simpler,
right?
Maybe this will be the move to get us to that system.
The revolution of simplicity. I dig it. That sounds like a third album title.
There you go.
So I know that this is one of your least favorite things that I make you do every year, but I put together a list of predictions for 2017 last year.
Steve just brought out this ball, this little glass ball.
I don't have a crystal ball, no? Audrey, I don't have a crystal ball.
And then you've just uncovered it from the silk scarf that you have.
Only three of our listeners will get that joke. You don't.
I don't.
It's a Twin Peaks reference.
Okay. All right. I, of course, am dressed as Karnak from Johnny Carson. So,
right.
So for all of our young listeners, you'll have to look that up.
Okay. Yeah. You'll go to the television museum. The Broadcast Museum in Chicago has a pretty good Karnak piece that you can go look at and analyze. So I made some predictions of about 2017, and I'm about 50-50 on whether I was right or not. Now, a little bit of caution. I'm going to set off the spoiler horn here because there's some spoilers about Star Wars The Last Jedi in my predictions.
All right, so if you're not going to listen to us, have a good new year.
Yeah.
Steve, tell us a little bit about your Star Wars prediction.
My first prediction that I posted at about this time last year was that Rey in Star Wars is the granddaughter of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, Obi-Wan was a nobody.
That is true. So it is still possible. I'm still holding out hope that maybe this prediction will come true.
Did you say hope?
Hope. That's what revolutions are built upon.
All right. So as of right now, that has not officially become true.
Yeah. Canon-wise, that is not true. But I still think that it's possible that the next episode of Star Wars 2 years from now will feature a revelation about Rey's parentage.
So, Steve, you were saying Nintendo was going to do something this year.
Well, if you remember, in 2016, Nintendo brought out their Super Mario Brothers game for iOS.
Yes.
And it was a huge success for about 4 minutes, and then it fell off the charts really quickly. I really thought that we would see the Zelda title for iOS in 2017. We have not yet seen that, but there's still rumors that they are working on it, and it will be released soon.
Soon.
Soon. There's a lot of O's in soon.
That's 2018.
Well, now it is, yeah, because we're out of time in 2017.
Steve, you got any Google predictions?
Yeah, I was half right on this one. I said that the Google Home would be on sale for $49.99, maybe only on Black Friday, but I was half right because Google released their Google Home Mini at that $50 price point and then immediately lowered that price to $29 from Black Friday all the way through to the end of the year. So you still have a couple of days left to pick it up at $29. It might stay there at $29, though.
Well, the competition with Amazon.
Correct.
And their Echo certainly has put a lot of pressure on these.
Yeah, because they are certainly battling for that microphone in your house space. The NSA really wants more microphones in your house.
All right, so Steve, Star Wars predictions?
Back to Star Wars for a minute. I was half right. I'm going to give myself 50% credit on this one. I said Star Wars Episode 8 would feature the death of both Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia. I made this prediction right after the passing of Carrie Fisher. I thought for sure that Episode 8 would feature the death of Princess Leia because the actress is not with us. How are they going to move on to Episode 9? Well, we're going to move on to Episode 9, Chip.
So we're just going to say, let's just say we're half true, and we're not going to tell you why we're half true.
There you go. No spoilers on this show.
We're half true.
You go see Star Wars. Go see Star Wars again. Go see it again. another half right one, and I'm going to give myself half credit on this one because I think it's going to happen. A force ghost of Luke will speak to Kylo Ren. It didn't happen in episode 8.
No.
But I think it might happen in episode 9.
Not that we're going to give away any spoilers. There you go. Nothing like that. But we did get a force ghost in the movie.
Yes. My other prediction, I thought that there would be a force ghost of Obi-Wan played by the ghost of Alec Guinness, like a Tarkin style digital rendition of Alec Guinness. I thought for sure that was going to happen in episode 8. It didn't, but there is a force ghost that speaks to Luke in episode 8, and boy, was it a great scene. It is a fully fan service scene for me, the middle-aged man, and not for my 15-year-old son, because boy, did he not like it.
Struggle.
15 is very difficult, it is. I did get two right. I predicted that the Chicago Cubs would not make it back to the World Series in 2017. Boy, I got one right on that one, didn't I?
They got to the finals, Steve.
Did they?
They got to the finals.
They got to the finals before the World Series?
The finals before the World Series.
Huh. Good for them. I also predicted, this was my softball for 2017, I predicted that Marissa Meyer would not be the CEO of Yahoo by the end of 2017. Boy, was that an easy prediction to make, because Yahoo is no longer a thing. They've been purchased by Verizon, and they're now called Oath. Which is a terrible name.
It's a terrible name.
It's terrible.
But Verizon's looking to bury this anyway.
Yeah.
Because we continue to have scandals coming out from Yahoo's past.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do we know? Steve, I think you did a pretty good job.
Thank you.
And next week,
I'm going to make you do predictions this year. I'm twisting your arm so that you can make predictions for 2018 next week.
My prediction is the future will be here soon enough.
We want to thank everybody who's listened to us in 2017. You guys have come to us. You've sent us emails. You've made phone calls and told us that we're doing something that you're enjoying. We appreciate all of you and all of our patrons who support us at patreon.com. Thank you for everything for 2017.
In fact, we'll give you more light going forward for the rest of the year.
Except for the solar eclipse.
We'll do it all the way maybe to the summer.
Right. Till midsummer. We also want to thank our band, Grenadier. We don't mention them nearly enough. The music that you hear is so good. I appreciate that the group of men who came together and made that music. All of our little bumpers, our music is there, and it's wonderful. Thank you.
They're rad.
That's what the musicians say. I'm not nearly as cool as you are, Chip. I want to thank you for coming in and being a part of this podcast for another year.
We're over 3.5 years right now.
Yeah.
We're coming in to close out the fourth year.
That's awesome.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. Every week, every Tuesday, we have not skipped a week. I know. Every time I say that, I'm like, oh, we're going to skip a week this week, aren't we? Every week, every Tuesday, we have done it. I want to thank you for doing that.
And thanks to all the people who followed our Twitter and Facebook feeds.
Yep.
And we place our show there, and they're pressing through and they're listening to it. Thank you for your feedback, too, concerning that. If you have suggestions, feel free to always pass them on.
Yep.
And we'll see if there's some other things we can do in our area.
Yeah, I think we have enough information to survive for the rest of the year, Chip. What do you think?
Only if we can come back for the new year, Steve.
Oh, man. Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you so much. All the best to you and yours in 2018. If you need more information, you can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. And find all the news that you need to survive another day. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Baby New Year.
We'll see you in 2018.
Goodbye, Father Time.